This is Wiggle and Flourish, a Stranger Things fanfic written by Ada Ronan and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated R and contains the pairing Steve Harrington, Eddie Munson, with additional tags for comedy, fluff, some mature themes, but no smut, no sex. Blink and miss it, sub Steve. Eddie Munson has ADHD. Magic tricks. Feelings realization. Time skip. Marriage. Summary. Eddie says his bedroom is where the magic happens. Apparently, he means it.
Welcome, Sir Stephen, to the new and improved Munson Estate. Eddie opens the front door, gesturing to the inside. Steve brushes past him, looking around at the government-funded double-wide. It even smells new.
Do I get a tour?
Steve asks. There are a few framed photos in the living room, mainly old ones of Eddie from the school picture days, including an adorable one of him with shaggy shoulder-length hair and a missing front tooth. Steve's eyes pause on the photo of Eddie in a green cap and gown, wedged between Robin and Nancy. Steve behind them, with his arms around all three. It's one of two pictures of Eddie at graduation on display. In the other, Eddie stands next to his Uncle Wayne, the old man beaming with pride.
Well, you're in the living room, Eddie says, and you can see the kitchen.
Steve can indeed see the kitchen, including an impressive collection of fridge magnets shaped like various fruits. Someone, Eddie probably, has put one of the banana magnets between two oranges. Gesticulating like an actor in a daytime drama, Eddie keeps going.
Through that door is the laundry room. We don't have to scrounge for quarters anymore, which kicks ass. Thank you, Uncle Sammy, for, I don't know, doing the bare minimum after literally fucking up the lives of an entire town.
Eddie shrugs. Then past the laundry room is the back door. So, you know, please take a moment to note the fire exit nearest you, and remember that the closest exit in the event of an emergency may be behind you. Steve shakes his head, amused.
Is there a flotation device under my seat, too?
Eddie peers at his ass, contemplative.
Maybe,
he says, with a look of approval. Steve feels his cheeks grow warm as Eddie turns on one foot, arms flailing a bit. Eddie then motions for Steve to follow him down the narrow hall.
To your left is the bedroom of one Wayne Munson, best uncle in Indiana, in America, in the whole world. To your left again is the bathroom. It's all genders, but we ask that everyone please put the seat back up when they're finished, if applicable.
Steve snorts softly.
And at the very end of the hall, well,
Eddie turns again, spreading his arms wide.
I hope you're ready for this, Stevie boy, because this is where the magic happens.
Eddie then proceeds to dropkick the barely cracked door wide open while saying, ka-chow! Inside, it's all posters and clutter. There's a fork on the windowsill for some reason. An acoustic guitar sits propped up in the corner, white paint on its body declaring that this machine slays dragons. Eddie's electric guitar hangs on the wall, two different amps stacked on the floor below.
I know, Eddie says with a wave. It's pretty much the coolest bedroom you've ever seen. I don't know, man. I was told this is where the magic happens. I see a window fork, but I'm not seeing any magic as of late.
Steve leans casually on the doorframe, crossing his arms.
Kinda disappointing. A window fork.
Eddie looks at it.
Huh, so there is. Forget about that. But if you want magic, big boy, I'll give you magic.
Eddie grins wildly, and something in Steve's stomach flutters like a kite tail. With an alarming lack of preamble, Eddie reaches for his belt buckle. Steve's eyes go big as frisbees, his heart leaping up into his throat. Okay, Steve did not mean that kind of magic. He'd meant, like... Shit, he's not really sure what he'd meant, actually. He'd just been screwing around, throwing words at Eddie so Eddie would throw some back, because that's what they do. And it's fun, and it's... It's... totally flirting. Oh, shit. Steve has been flirting with Eddie, hasn't he? And now Eddie's belt hangs open at his waist, because of course Eddie would think... Steve breathes in deep and exhales, feeling the way the air stutters on the way out. His hands are shaking when he looks Eddie up and down, eyes tracking slowly from the crown of Eddie's head to his sneakers. Eddie is, now that Steve takes the time to properly notice, distressingly attractive. His waist is slim, his tummy soft and undefined. He's got legs that Steve wants to bite. And those eyes, right? Deep and brown, like the promise of new growth in the spring. Plus, it's not like Steve didn't already know he likes guys. There was that night with Jonathan and Nancy in a game of spin the bottle gun awry. So, like, guys, yes. Yes to guys. Yes to Eddie Munson. Steve takes a deep breath and decides to play it cool, like he totally knew what he was doing the whole time, like he wants this. Because he does kind of want it now. He definitely wouldn't regret it. He licks his lips when Eddie takes a step forward, offering Steve the handcuffs. Hands still trembling, Steve takes the cuffs from Eddie. Check them, Eddie says, simple and authoritative, in a way that makes a shiver prickle down Steve's arms. Make sure they're real handcuffs and all that. Oh, okay. Steve looks them over. They definitely aren't plastic, and they aren't the toy kind with the trick latch. Yeah, these are the real deal. Steve can almost feel the cold metal on his skin. That they are, Stevie boy. That they are. And he holds out his wrists. And Steve inhales sharply. Right. So he was obviously hoping Eddie would want to put the cuffs on him and not... But hey, Steve is nothing if not adaptable. He can work with this. He slides them onto Eddie. Nice and tight now, Eddie says. You really are a freak, Munson, Steve teases, tightening them. Oh, you've got no idea. Eddie takes his arms back. Now, the key to doing this and making it sexy is that I do this little wiggle thing. Eddie proceeds to do a little wiggle thing that reminds Steve of one of those inflatable tube guys outside of Bobby Brandon's used cars. I mean... I guess, Steve says, but the wiggle definitely has his eyes back on Eddie's waist, so maybe Eddie's onto something, actually. Plus, it's adorable. It's so adorable. The other key, of course, is the magic words. So, you know, by the power of Grayskull. Eddie does a little flourish. And then he's just not wearing the handcuffs anymore. He dangles them in front of Steve's face on one finger, smiling smugly. What? Pretty cool, right? Eddie starts to put the handcuffs back on his belt. Steve takes a deep breath in, puffing out his cheeks before releasing it. Think of demodogs. Think of demodogs. Think of demodogs. Steve? No, Steve's voice cracks like he's 13, and he clears his throat.
No, I mean, yes, that was the coolest thing I've ever seen, dude. Yeah?
Eddie tilts his head, looking at Steve from under his long lashes.
So I successfully impressed you then?
Steve feels like it should be physically impossible to get butterflies while experiencing what can only be described as horny whiplash. But here he is.
Were you, trying to? Steve asks. To impress me?
And damn, he can feel himself blushing.
Eddie stares at him for a second, tilting his head in consideration. Only always these days, he says. Look, fuck it, right? The town already hunted me for sport, and you really are a good dude, so I'll go for broke or whatever. Because what's the worst that can happen, right? I'm into you, Steve. Like, so into you, it's not even funny, man.
Steve makes a noise of surprise, and Eddie immediately starts rambling even more than usual.
Don't make it awkward or anything. I can get over it. I just... Shit. What did I tell you, actually? I don't know why I did that. Like, not because I don't think you're cool with me being gay or whatever. I know who your best friend is. It's just sort of pointless to tell someone something when they can't do anything about it.
And he starts pacing in place.
But hey, I guess I can feed that bruised ego of yours a little. Like, you know, you've still got it.
Eddie shoots some finger guns.
Eddie, like, you definitely do still have it. You just haven't found the right person, girl, to appreciate it, is the thing. Which is ridiculous to me because you're perfect. But, like, Eddie.
Eddie jumps, stopping abruptly and turning toward him.
Look, I'll be honest, Steve says. I hadn't really considered, you know. Us,
Steve gestures between them.
Until today. Seriously, you don't have to do all of this, Steve.
Steve huffs, frustrated.
You don't even know what I'm trying to do, man.
Okay, Eddie says, voice too even. What are you trying to do? Steve swallows. He doesn't want to go too fast, in case he's still thinking with his dick, but...
I'm trying to ask you to come to my house for dinner tomorrow night. I'll cook.
What? Eddie's eyebrows practically hit his bangs.
Like a first date, Steve says.
But... Steve falters.
But?
Eddie pulls a few strands of hair in front of his face.
But a real first date between two adults. Getting to know someone better, exploring if you want to, like, go further. You know what I mean?
Eddie drops his hair, squinting at him, searching.
You're serious. He relaxes. I have eyes, dude, and you are...
Steve flicks his gaze up and down Eddie's figure again.
Look, I like spending time with you. I realize I've kind of been flirting with you, and I like that too.
You do?
I am at your house willingly, Eddie. I just watched you do a magic trick.
Steve doesn't mention what he'd actually been thinking during that trick. A conversation for another time. Or maybe never.
It really was cool, you know. The trick. You're, pretty cool.
Eddie's lips curl up slowly.
Pretty cool, huh? That must be that famed Harrington charm. Do go on.
Steve rolls his eyes, but okay, he'll bite. He leans casually on Eddie's dresser and says,
You're like a train wreck, man.
Oh, for the love of fuck.
Wait, hold on.
Steve puts his hands up,
grimacing.
That's not...
Eddie's eyes go wide. He barks a laugh.
What the fuck, Steve?
Oh my god, Eddie, are you sure I've still got it?
I'm not sure I've still got it.
Steve scrubs a hand over his face.
Okay.
He could still fix this. So what I meant is that when you're around, it's like I can't look away. That's what I meant. I can't look away, and now I'm realizing it's maybe because I don't want to. And I'd really like to see if that's the case. Eddie rocks on his feet.
Well, I guess I could be persuaded to have dinner.
He steps closer.
If the Harrington Mansion can survive a whole train wreck, that is.
Steve groans into his hand.
That one's gonna haunt me for life, isn't it?
As long as I'm in it.
Eddie leans so close, Steve goes cross-eyed.
Yeah, probably.
There's a line outside the courthouse. People are draped in rainbows, dressed in everything from suits to white dresses, from simple button-down shirts to a pair of faded Metallica tees from a 1987 tour. In Indianapolis, 1 year to the day after Steve made Eddie pasta and kissed him out by the pool, garlic breath and all. Are you getting married today? The reporter reminds Steve of Nancy, an inquisitive face, a voice recorder in hand.
Nancy won't be working today, though.
She and Robin are in another line in another city.
Steve can feel his phone vibrating in his pocket.
You bet your ass we are. Gotta get in there before they change their minds.
Eddie tosses his arm around Steve and kisses him on the cheek. Sloppy and wet enough to have Steve wiping it off, grumbling, "Dude," with a fond smile. I'm Caroline Stanley with the Herald. Can I ask how long you've been together?
Me and Stevie Boy here?
Eddie squeezes his shoulder.
Since 1986.
Carolyn's eyes light up.
Almost 30 years? Wow, that's incredible. When did you know that you had a shot at forever?
Oh, you know.
Eddie turns his head, grinning at Steve like he's about to embarrass him by singing him a song in a restaurant. Or by doing an entire Shakespearean soliloquy on a park bench, holding a basketball like a skull.
God, Steve loves him so fucking much.
Eddie, don't, Steve says.
But of course, Eddie does.
It was when he told me I'm a total train wreck.
Steve huffs, indignant.
I did not say total. You're embellishing.
Well, duh. Gotta embellish for the press, Stevie baby.
A train wreck? Caroline looks between them with bright eyes.
Really? Do you, want to elaborate on that?
I'd love to,
Steve says. And hey,
he's been saving this story for a long time.
A really, really long time.
It's like how Eddie holds on to stickers, waiting for the perfect place to put them. And that's how they have a whole drawer of stickers in their apartment.
Their wedding day, though. Even Steve knows he should finally peel the backing off and smack that sucker right on Eddie's forehead.
When will there ever be a more perfect time?
The real truth, Steve says, is that he did a magic trick with a pair of handcuffs, and I thought he was trying to put the moves on me. I wasn't exactly thinking straight.
What?
Eddie throws his head back, laughing.
You never told me that. You're making that up. I am not. You showed me your bedroom and said, this is where the magic happens. And then you started unbuckling your belt.
Oh my God.
Eddie doubles over.
Steve. It's been 28 years.
I was saving it for maximum damage.
I'll say. Crit hit.
But seriously. Steve smiles warmly at the reporter. I was trying to tell him that I had my eye on him and couldn't stop. You know, a train wreck. Not my finest attempt at flirting, but it worked.
It did.
And today, we're rolling this caboose right into the courthouse, and no one can stop us.
Choo-choo!
Eddie pretends to pull a whistle. Steve slips an arm around Eddie's waist, much rounder than it once was, and winks at Caroline.
What is it everyone is saying today? Oh, yeah. Love goddamn wins.
The end. Odd as nuts. Can't believe it took me this long to throw in a superfluously fluffy time jump marriage scene, to be honest. I am on Twitter and Tumblr. Reader's notes. This podfic was recorded as a gift for Summer Podfic Swap 2024 for Chaos Kiro. You like Steve Eddie? I like Steve Eddie. I love your back catalog, and I hope this makes you smile because I have been grinning the whole way through this story. Thank you so much to Aida Ronan for having blanket permission to podfic. And Chaos Kiro, I hope this makes you grin. Everyone else who's listening, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it, and have a nice day.